Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me as always is Steve. How are you doing?
Always by your side, John. I got my second shot today. Isn't it amazing? I feel so much better.
Oh, today. Yeah, I got mine yesterday, actually. So, feeling okay. How about you?
Feeling okay for now, but I'm told that I'm going to have a really crappy weekend. So we'll see.
That could be any Friday, though.
True, true.
So, yeah, you never know. Depends on what you're invested in, you know?
Yes. What an awesome segue.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn actually. We keep an eye on fintech, new tools, new ways to invest, new hedges, buy a couple multi-million dollar NFTs on the way. But fortunately, we have somebody that can help us to wade through a little bit of this world. We have Annabelle Wong, partner at Amber Group. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, John. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Steve and I were just kind of talking, trying to figure out the way some of the new investment vehicles for cryptocurrencies and blockchain based services were coming along. So it's great you're on. Why don't you start us off with a little bit about you and what you guys do at Amber Group?
For sure. So, hi everyone. My name is Annabelle Huang, and I'm a partner at Amber Group. We are a global leading crypto finance service provider. So, think investment bank, wealth management arm, but in crypto terms. My background's actually in investment bank before as well. So, I started my career on Wall Street, first at Deutsche Bank and then at Nomura, mostly in FX and rates structuring roles. And then in 2018, that's when I decided to really try something different, something more fintech related, since my passion has always been marrying technology and finance to see what the future of finance could mean. And that's when I joined my fellow Carnegie Mellon alumni to start a decentralized exchange platform built on Ethereum. Now, I know these might be a lot of new words, but Ethereum is the second largest public blockchain in the world that allows for smart contracts. So you can code a little different applications on top of it. And Airswap was a decentralized exchange, meaning you can swap assets with each other peer-to-peer without any intermediaries. And after a year, I decided to come back to Asia and really look at the Asia landscape of the whole crypto ecosystem. And that's where I met Amber Group co-founders. And Amber Group is more of a global platform at the intersection of both the centralized finance, which is more like the traditional finance that we know it, and decentralized finance, which is more crypto native. And since then, we've really expanded our operation. So we started off more as a prop shop trading quant strategies in crypto. And then we organically grew our services into offering our institutional as well as individual clients access to liquidity, including liquidity provisioning, us acting as market makers for different token issuers or on different exchanges. We facilitated borrow lending needs, et cetera. And last year in 2020, that's when we really decided to digitize and platformize a lot of our offerings and build our product suite. So now we offer a mobile app that's simple to use. So for more people to access our institutional grade liquidity and can easily invest and trade crypto.
Oh,
And
that sounds like, oh, sorry, yeah.
now, and I'm just saying, with this bull market that we've seen starting in late 2020 last year, we've really seen tremendous growth in our user base, and we feel like it's been market has validated crypto or Bitcoin as investment alternative investment. We're seeing institutions in the U.S. and a lot of high net worth individuals allocating into Bitcoin and even other cryptos. So just really excited to see where this space could go.
So you're benefiting a lot from more acceptance from investing and or using cryptocurrencies for their clients.
Yeah, of course. I think since it was last summer, MicroStrategy, which is a public listed co, and their CEO, Michael Saylor, has been a proponent of Bitcoin and has been publicly announcing that they have been buying Bitcoin with their cash, with their treasury. So really putting Bitcoin as on their balance sheet as part of their portfolio.
Yeah, aren't they, isn't most of their market value now Bitcoin?
Well, they've certainly, mark-to-market wise, they've certainly made a lot more on their Bitcoin holdings than their other business lines. And then, you know, they're not the only one. And PayPal, there's Square, you know, Jack Dorsey, Twitter, CEO of Twitter and Square has been a very big proponent of Bitcoin as well. And of course, Elon Musk with Tesla also allocating a proportion of their cash into Bitcoin and keep adding to their portfolio as well. So, you know, it's really a market validation for Bitcoin as alternative investment, as a superior form of store of value. I think, you know, with the pandemic and the global macro backdrop, it is hard to find yield in a lot of places. You know, dollar is basically yielding zero. And then, you know, Fed is printing like there's no tomorrow. So people start to think about, oh, you know, what do I do with that cash now? So now it was institutions who really paved the way. And now a lot of retail investors are following through.
Maybe there isn't a tomorrow. So for a lot of your institutional clients, when they work with you, is it the first time that they're investing or using cryptocurrencies a lot of the time? And what is the process that you have to go through, if any?
I would say, at least from this year, from this bull cycle, that there has been a lot of new investors coming to the space. And of course, that means a lot of user education, because you have to make sure that your clients or people who are looking to invest fully understand what it is that they're investing in, so they can have a calculated risk-reward profile and to think if it's a suitable investment for them. So initially it was a lot about Bitcoin, since it is the first crypto, and it now has the largest market share, market dominance, and really telling them about a lot of the mechanics about Bitcoin. You know, it has a fixed supply, and then the mining schedules, halving every 4 years, etc. And then also would mention the other major tokens, major blockchains, or major cryptos like Ethereum or the others. Also educating them about dollar stablecoins, which is essentially dollar, but wrapped on the blockchain as the digital representation of it. So it's one-to-one backed. The issuers will have $1 in the bank, but then also issue $1 stablecoin on blockchain. So just getting them comfortable with the whole idea of having a digital asset or digital currency to begin with, and then understanding, you know, why it makes sense to invest in it as a alternative asset class, why it makes sense to put it as part of your portfolio for diversification. And then I think most of them really do see and understand the narrative. So we're seeing a lot of institutions globally looking to allocate into Bitcoin, and then a lot of the individual players as well.
So interesting. So you also have this feature in your platform. You know, it seems like there's been this explosion of companies that can allow consumers and institutions to basically buy and hold crypto. But you also have this model where you can earn interest, right? You earn an APR. How does this work? And do you see this as the future of this asset class, as sort of earning interest on it and not just holding and trading it? Sort of what are your views on the future of interest-bearing Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies?
I think you can treat these cryptos as and perhaps alternative currency, right, in the FX land, which is where I used to, you know, my previous life is. There's different interest rates on different currencies, and then there's a robust market to make sure, right, the the spot market is trading in line with the interest rate market. So there's no arbitrage opportunities. And we're seeing similarly in crypto versus traditional FX as well. And I think it should make sense for people to earn yields on your holdings. First of all, because there is a structural yield pickup opportunities in crypto. So, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum aside, if you just look at dollars, what I just mentioned, right? Traditional fiat dollar at a bank is now yielding you close to zero. But once you wrap it into a digital format, and then when it enter into the crypto world, just because right now there is, the crypto market is still quite separated. And there are a lot of people who are willing to borrow dollars at a much higher rate than in traditional finance markets. So dollar stable coins can earn up to 10% a year on our platform. And that's just the structure of the crypto markets. And also on the Bitcoin and Ethereum side, there's a lot of trading opportunities, arbitrage opportunities within the markets, just because it's still so new. And a lot of times it's not as sophisticated or as mature. So we can run our market neutral strategies, basis capture or other strategies to essentially capture these yield opportunities with no risk. And we're willing to offer that to our users. So now you can also earn up to 10% a year on your Bitcoin and Ethereum. And our thesis is really to help more users come into the space to invest in crypto, and then to earn yield on it and put it away for the next few years and then see where the exponential growth can come, rather than maybe a lot of the other exchanges or other other products. They're more focused on trading, intraday trading, in and out, which is perhaps more risky. For us, it's how to preserve your wealth, how to manage your wealth, allocating between traditional assets and crypto, and then really grow your assets in the long run.
So basically, I'm able to both hold on to my crypto and whichever one that may be, either Ethereum or Bitcoin, but also I'm able to earn a return on that. It seems like it's almost too good to be true. What's the potential downside for somebody like, say, me, who's a crypto novice, who would buy something and then expect to get a return on it? What happens when the currency either devalues or something else happens in the market?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, market risk is something that we, if you decide to invest in crypto, that's something that you have to be comfortable with in the first place. It is a very volatile market. It can move 10 or 20% in a day. The annualized volatility is, you know, usually ranges from 60% a year to upwards 120% a year. So that's even much higher than single name stocks sometimes. So that's something that I think most people have to understand. It is still a very volatile asset because it is very new. A lot of the price discovery process is not so sophisticated, but that's exactly why there is room for arbitrage. So if you're sophisticated players like us, like Amber, then you'll be able to capture an outsized yield compared to where you could maybe in FX markets or in equities market. So that's the first risk, is the market risk. And of course, mm-hmm. there's the counterparty risk. There are a lot of different platforms out there in the market. I would advise everyone to do your own research on each platform, on their backing, on the size of their balance sheet. Are you okay taking the counterparty risk by depositing your asset onto their platform? And for Amber, we have been in space for 4 years now, which is not a long time in the, I guess, in real life, I'll call it, but in mm-hmm. crypto life, it is, you know, we've come through a few crypto winters and then now another bull cycle.
You're a geriatric fintech now.
I know.
Yeah, I think nowadays 4 years makes you really a crypto OG, if you will. But I'm wondering also from a product perspective, right? What led you guys to launch this now? Sort of why, 4 years ago, of course, but why now? And how do you think you compete against all these other players that seem to be entering the space, like famously Coinbase, which went public somewhat recently. Venmo announced that you can also now buy cryptocurrency. So what can you do to stay afloat and stay on edge in the face of these massive, well-funded competitors from the US?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, firstly, when we started 4 years ago, it was very institution driven. So we were servicing a lot of institutional players, and it was more referral, word of mouth. So we got more clients. But then I think it was in late 2019 that we started to realize that we do have the ability to provide our institutional grade services to more people. Crypto should be, the design by design is global, we want to democratize access to a lot of the crypto finance services. It shouldn't be just for the sophisticated institutions. It should be for anyone who wants to participate in the ecosystem. And that's why we decided to scale our services by building products. And it was actually good timing, because after our products are launched, then Bitcoin and the market really took off, and we've seen growth in our user base globally. So that tells us there is a need everywhere for an easy to use and trustworthy platform for people to invest and hold their crypto. And in terms of how we view Coinbase or the other big players, I mean, first of all, we're pretty close to the Coinbase team. They are one of our investors now, Series A round. And our Series A round is led by Paradigm, which is one of the biggest crypto VCs globally. And one of the co-founders, Fred, was also a co-founder of Coinbase. So we speak to the team often, and I personally really admire the Coinbase team for doing the hard work for the last almost 10 years. And it's really great to see where they're at now. And I think we share a lot of the same philosophies at Ember. We try to do the right thing for the long run. We're not trying to, I think in crypto, it's very easy to be influenced by a lot of the noise in the market and try to make a quick buck. A lot of people do that, don't get me wrong, but for us, we're really in it for the long run. In that sense, it's quite similar to Coinbase. But I would say the difference between Amber and Coinbase and the other names that you mentioned is that we have a more global perspective, perhaps, being rooted in Asia, but also have access to US markets, but not limited to this. We're really trying to build a global platform that can offer services in more geographies other than Asia or the US, although these are probably the biggest markets out there.
So in terms of your client segment, you mentioned that you're in Asia. I know there's a lot of issues with people being able to buy, invest in, and all stuff in crypto in the US and globally. How do you approach the whole issue of having a global audience for your product and operating among all these different in all these different jurisdictions, some of which may be more crypto skeptic than others?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this year, after our product launched, my focus within Ember has been building out our global team. So now I'm leading our Global X Center, and I have teams all over the world, really. I have a team in Korea, in Japan, building out our teams, really just in all the active crypto markets. We're going to offer Spanish and Portuguese, Turkish and Russian, all these languages soon to try to tap into those markets. But all these global markets, also even just within Asia, it is very, you have to take a different approach, a differentiated approach. You have to really get someone who understands the local culture and the local teams, and of course the local regulations, to design a go-to-market strategy that works for that market specifically. Because what works in Hong Kong or what works in the US probably won't work in Venezuela or Philippines, or not necessarily. So really spending a lot of time speaking to the local teams there, different partners that we have in the local regions, understanding the local regulations, what we can do, and what licenses we would need. So it is a very involved process, but it's also fun to see, maybe the user behaviors are a bit different in different markets, but I think at the core, a lot of them are very interested in crypto. They want to embrace a new technology. They believe in it as an investment. So I think the growth potential is limitless.
Awesome. It's interesting because I think when I first got involved sort of in the crypto space, I saw it as a way for maybe to help countries or rather citizens of countries whose currency has had devalued significantly. I'm thinking here, which is like Venezuela, maybe Argentina, Zimbabwe, what have you. But it seems like there's a difference in approach between those types of customers who just want a stable place to park their money, and those who actually want to get returns, who actually transact in the blockchain. So it's kind of solving a different set of problems for a different set of customers. Do you have sort of an ideal customer in mind, sort of a customer persona that you're going after, or is it just a matter of whoever wants to make a return on their cryptocurrencies?
I think it is. The user profile can perhaps vary a little bit, just because we do offer multiple business lines or different services on our platform. So for the people who are looking to really use Bitcoin or crypto as to replace fiat because they've lost faith in their government and their central banks and their own currency, then we do have the wallet feature where you can easily buy or sell crypto and then hold it there. And there's also another segment of the user base who are looking into crypto as part of their investment or portfolio diversification. So for them, right, they're really looking to preserve and grow their wealth. It's part of their wealth management program. And they can also use our earn product, as we call it, our yield product, to really safely secure and earn interest on their holdings over a long period of time. And even for the more sophisticated players, just because, right, we are crypto native, we've started with servicing institutions or the more sophisticated guys 4 years ago. So we do have that ability to service them as well. If they want to trade in large size, they want to borrow or lend against their crypto, or they are looking for execution services, et cetera, we can also offer that on our web portal as well. And we have a 24/7 dedicated trading team to service our clients globally as well. It's more kind of like a sales and trading team in an investment bank, perhaps. So we do have, for each segment of the market, for different user profiles, they should be able to find something within our platform that could help them.
Oh, just so I understand, since I'm not one of the sophisticated investors, on the Earn product, so you download the app, transfer some money in, you buy, what kind of cryptocurrencies would you buy at that point? Or what are the options you guys have?
So right now on our app, we simplified it just because a lot of the users are newcomers to the space. They're perhaps already overwhelmed with Bitcoin and Ethereum and different dollar stable coins. So we try to simplify the experience a bit and only offer Bitcoin and Ethereum at the moment, and perhaps offering maybe 5 to 7 more popular tokens soon.
Okay.
And then on our web end portal, which is more designed for prosumers, there's a list of 50 tokens.
There's all the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can go down transfer the money spectrum as you wish.
Yeah. Get some Doge and all that. so uh, So you transfer some money in, you choose between Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then you go to the earn product and you lend that out. So, and then the return, like you were saying, 10%, is that a fixed return or is that like just, does that depend on something?
It is a fixed return. So you can choose, or you can customize the tenor that you want. Say, oh, I want to put it away for a year, or I want to put it away for 3 months because maybe I want to trade it a little bit after. So you can decide how long you want to invest, what your investment period is. And then we have a yield curve, and then you can pick the point on the curve that you like, and then it will be a fixed income product. So it's a fixed interest rate for that period. So for 1 month, we're offering around 6%. If you lock up for a year, then it's up to 10 or 11%. And you don't have to choose between Bitcoin or Ethereum. I guess you can have a little bit of both if you want. Or you can leave some in dollar staple coins and also earn 10% on it. For me, even though I've been in the space and I would call myself a Bitcoin Ethereum believer, but I don't have 100% of my investable assets in crypto as well.
As you shouldn't.
So I do keep a lot of dollars actually, but still enjoy earning 10% on them as well.
Oh, okay. So it could be Bitcoin, Ethereum, or the stablecoin. Is it Tether or a different stablecoin?
We do have Tether, but then also, and I would actually advise perhaps to look at dollar USDC or the others of the like that are perhaps more regulated. And that's where I personally keep my dollar stablecoins anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can buy really Bitcoin, construct- Ethereum,
or one of the stable coins, and then go to the earn product and choose your tenor. And then there's some, you lose some of the upside that it might go up. So there's some opportunity cost. Is that true? Bitcoin doubles, you get back the same Bitcoin after the, let's say I choose a year, and then I can get that return, the capital gain and the 10%?
I just get the same dollars.
Yeah.
It's actually paid in kind. So, you own the Bitcoin that you bought, right? It's a physical Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's not kind of a synthetic exposure. So you have the Bitcoin, you put in our earn product, you'll earn interest in Bitcoin. So if you put in one Bitcoin and invest in for a year for 10%, at the end of the year, you'll get 1.1 Bitcoin.
Okay, got it. So if it shot up, if it doubled in a year, I would have 1.1 of that doubled number. Something like that.
Correct.
And then if it went down the same or whatever. So it's not a dollar return, it's in kind, like you said, in whatever it is you put in. But if I did the stable coin, it would be basically the dollar.
That would be dollar, yeah. So it's really
okay.
It's a way for people to construct their own portfolio as well and say, I have however many dollars, maybe I put 5% in crypto, or 5% in Bitcoin, and then 5 in Ethereum, and then the rest keep it in dollar stable coins, and then you can put your whole portfolio into our own product and earn yields, but obviously earn in different currencies.
What's the longest tenor that you offer?
Right now in our app, it's 1 year, but then we are looking to add perhaps further out tenors, so even up to 3 years.
Okay, so if I was going to buy Bitcoin anyway, I could just buy it and then do this and have an extra 10% on whatever would have happened anyway.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Huh. It's literally almost sounds too good to be true. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny that we talked to other companies in this space, and it seems like this is going to be the new frontier of Bitcoin. It's just being able to make returns and have an APY on this as well. It's amazing.
Yeah, because as the market grows, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all these tokens, they could be you know, they can be utilized to generate yield. There's a lot of trading opportunity, a lot of borrow lending opportunity. Essentially, for us, since we're market neutral, meaning we don't take any positions in Bitcoin or other tokens, we're all dollar based, but we are able to capture a lot of the basis or arbitrage opportunities in the market. And we think that that should be returned to the users, and we're happy to borrow from our users at 10% a year, which is where we're comfortable as our cost of capital. So it really is win-win at the end of the day.
That's incredible. And it's can I as a US resident sign up right now?
Yes, you can. We unfortunately cannot offer services to New York-based users, given we're still in the process of applying for the BIT license. But if you're located elsewhere, then that's fine.
So you're 49 states?
pretty much, yes.
Everybody else, huh? Huh, okay. You know, yeah, New York has its own rules. I just saw they came out with their own LIBOR thing too. That might become the national rule with that LIBOR transition. So they're often the leader in a lot of the finance, and they have their own world there. So that makes kind of sense. Huh. What's the plan for it? I guess you're head of the global, so you're expanding geographically. That's in your world, but I guess, and you're expanding your services for institution. Is that the plan for the next year or two?
Yeah, I think we're always looking to grow our user base, to grow our AUM, right? And it is going into new geographies, like you said, and it's also continuing to service our clients, our existing clients well, and continue iterating on our ability to provide better and better services to all our users, potential users or existing users. So on institution side, it really is our bread and butter. We started with that business, and now also expanding into the retail market with our mobile app. And on the product side, I work very closely with our product team. I'm very excited for the new features that are coming up. So that's adding more investment products on our platform. So not just, floating or fixed yield products, maybe even more. And also adding payment functions. So we're launching our Amber Card very soon, where you'll be able to not just buy and hold crypto, but also spend it if you want. So I'm really excited for that. And a lot of things in the pipeline. Please keep an eye out for what we're going to do.
We knew Annabelle way back when she wasn't, before she was a billionaire. Maybe you are. We don't know. So I'm going to give you a gift, Annabelle. You have a magic wand, and you can change something, technology, regulation, whatever it is you want to help Amber grow in the next few years or so. What would you wish different?
I would say yes, perhaps on the regulation front. It's not like, we want no regulation in the space. I don't think that's good for the market either. But, I would like to see clear regulations from a lot of the jurisdictions. Singapore has been leading the game and put out a new act, Payment Services Act, that regulates crypto in a sense. And we would love to see the leading economies do that, more of them do that as well. So for us, it's a clear rule on what we should follow, because right now we're just trying to be very rigorous and strict ourselves, hoping that we'd be able to be compliant with whatever rules coming out in the future. But it's still quite cumbersome. And if one day, the US, more places like Singapore would put out clear rules and regulations around crypto and treating it not as a security, because it's not really, or just as a commodity, because there are a lot of nitty-gritties about digital assets that are different from the physical commodities that we know it, and just really treat it as a new asset class and regulate it accordingly.
They try to keep fitting it into the some other box that's not designed for it. Yeah, huh?
And then the boxes are so archaic to begin with, like, you know, 90-20 security.
It's good to be young, Annabelle. Like, it's good to be young. If you saw us, you would be like, yeah, archaic. That makes sense. So you mentioned Singapore is, you know, has good regulation, forward-thinking regulation. No one's listening, Annabelle. Who's the hardest? Who's kind of a pain to work with? What country? What jurisdiction?
I would say, I personally probably would find dealing with any regulators a bit painful.
Oh, you're such a diplomat.
I know, it's true. The process is long. Sometimes these applications can take a year or two. And that is probably like a decade or two in crypto land. So many things happen, so many new technologies are coming in, the market evolves so fast. So, you know, that's why I mentioned I would like to see regulators really treating it as a new asset class and being able to embrace innovation as opposed to try to kill it in a sense.
Well, it sounds like you're off to a fantastic start. Yeah, 4 years is young, so you guys can still have time to conquer the world. Having Coinbase as a partner and helping you out, that's got to be huge. You guys got to be happy about that. So thanks for joining us on the podcast. It sounds like you guys are doing a great job and off to a great start.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. So you'll have to join us again when you guys IPO in multiple markets around the world.
Hopefully. We're just closed our Series B, really. So just been spending so much time on that, but really seeing the market growing and exponentially. So really, really excited for that. And if you guys or your audiences are interested in crypto, I think everybody should at least try to understand what it is. Feel free to let us know if anything I could help or Amber could help.
We'll put the link in the show notes, so check that out. That's Annabelle Wong, Head of Global X and Partner at Amber Group. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.